podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there and welcome to podcast number 13 from the XFM Breakfast Show with myself, Danny Wallace. On this podcast, Noel Gallagher swings by. We play Quiz Face. Fence Factor is covered in probably far too much depth. Rob Brydon swings by. So does Russell Howard. And Robin Cooper interviews another special celebrity guest. Let's begin.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
I found out this morning that Jamie Oliver is the second biggest selling author in Britain. After J.K. Rowling. 30-Minute Meals sold 1.1 million copies in just 3 months. When I first saw that book, I thought it was 30 Minute Meals. I thought it was just part of his campaign against fat kids. Well, that's what's happening there. It's good though. Have you got a copy of that? I've got a copy of that.
No, I haven't, but I have heard they take longer than 30 minutes to make.
They do. You know what it takes up most of the time? Because it's like 30 minutes, I guess, you know, that's quite a good amount of time to make a meal, but doesn't include sort of prep time. I spent 2 days trying to find Valerona honey, porcini rossi, and Chinese five spice for the first recipe in the book. I had everything ready to go before I realised that wasn't a recipe. I was reading the introduction, and those are the names of his kids.
XFM.
$100 billion records sold. 65 separate number ones and a number three. 5,000 illegitimate children in Kent alone.
Allegedly.
Owner of his own home and two buy-to-let properties in the northwest, which is very sensible these days. The world's most exciting solo artist.
I don't really know what these songs are about.
The XFM Godfather.
Thank you very much.
The Breakfast Show icon.
That's it.
Noel.
The easiest gig in show business.
Thomas.
I don't know what this is.
David.
If I've got to play that guitar one more time, I'm going to vomit.
Gallagher.
Yeah, okay, it's great. That's what he does. Brilliant.
Here he is. It is Noel Gallagher, everybody. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very well also.
This is a momentous occasion today.
It is a momentous occasion.
The first time I've ever been late for anything since 1998.
I did see you on YouTube talking to a Japanese interviewer who asked you for your top 10 hates, and the first one was being late.
Yeah, I hate it. Can't stand it, yeah.
Well, but we don't mind.
First time Paris it was, 1998, August 23rd.
It sounds like you're going to go into a song.
Day that's etched into my memory.
Why were you late that time and why were you late this time?
Late that time because of hangover. Right. This time because it's traffic.
Just traffic. That's how your life
has
changed.
If you're listening, Boris.
He's a massive XFM fan.
Yeah, I do like him though. Do you like him?
I like Boris, yeah.
Two Borises that we know, both great.
Becker and Johnson.
Yeah, and Yeltsin's not bad either, is he?
Yeltsin's great, he's a lot of fun.
So there's a tip there if anybody's having a baby boy quite soon. You could do a lot worse than calling your baby son Boris. You got a head start,
you couldn't do a lot worse than calling him Boris.
Yeah, you could do, if you think, well, how many, three Borises we've mentioned there are all super cool.
Yeah.
Boris the Spider, immortalised by The Who. Yeah. We could be here all day, really cool.
Really good. Well, that's good. I can cross Boris's off my list of questions. That was what I was going to open with. Okay. So that's good. It's a momentous occasion for other reasons, though, Noel. Your debut solo album is out today.
And Man City are top of the league. Literally does not get any better than today. It goes downhill from about midday today, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It must be a very confusing time for you, though, today particularly, because obviously, you know, you want your album to go to number one. It will go to number one, but
I don't
if it does...
think it will.
Well, I think it will.
Matt Cardle's out today, isn't he? That X Factor.
Well, Steps is also at number one today. Are you equipped? Are you ready to go?
I hope my fans have come equipped, tooled up.
Yeah.
Yeah, to stick it to them, but I doubt it very much. I think X Factor, I think, rules now, doesn't it?
Really?
So, you know, never mind. I can put a little sticker on it. Say, you know, the hit number two album.
Would you feel sad knocking Steps off the top spot?
I mean, are you being serious when you say Steps have got an
Steps
album?
Steps are at number one, aren't they?
Well, have they got? Is it a new album or is it like a greatest hits or something?
It's their kind of reunion thing. I think it's a greatest hits.
Really? Crikey, people still buy that. That's incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. I'd be overwhelmed, I think.
The overwhelmed, yeah. They can read so much into that as well. That's very diplomatic of you. We're thrilled to have you on the show. The last time you were on the show, we talked to you over the phone, and we were inundated with texts from Venezuela for some reason.
Yeah, I'm quite famous in Venezuela. It's the one of the two places in the world where you're told when you check into your hotel room not to leave. Never mind, don't leave the hotel. Yeah. Don't leave the room.
They just love you out there, it seems.
Well, I don't know, but it's a great place, and they're fabulous people. What do they want anyway?
They just want to say hi to you. And to be honest, it was very confusing for us, because suddenly the text screen that I have in front of me was, I couldn't read it because everything was in Spanish.
Oh.
But it was just the Venezuelans going crazy for Noel Gallagher.
And XFM is now available in Venezuela.
That's right, yeah. We can clip that and use that in some promos.
Right.
XFM is now available online in Venezuela.
Right.
I'll be honest, we don't get that many Venezuelan listeners. It tends to be when you're on.
How do they deal with faceless indie music down there, then?
Well, here we go. We're getting into it. So, faceless indie music.
It's all a bit faceless and
indie at the moment, the scene.
Do you think it's a bit linear? It's not really, doesn't really do it for me.
Give us some examples.
I've never heard of anybody. I just know that it's not very good.
Right, fair enough. Probably won't use that in the promos. We'll keep that to ourselves. It is a crime against music now. I was thinking about this on the way in this morning, that some of those just incredible, anthemic kind of, those songs that have helped to sort of define a generation, like Live Forever and Supersonic, will now never be really played live in the same way again.
No, that's the one thing that's kind of, when I first left, I was thinking of that. I think, God, cigarettes and alcohol and Supersonic will never be played in a stadium again, as far as we know so far. But there you go. And the big anniversaries are coming up in the next three or four years, I think.
Yeah.
So I suppose I might have to do skiffle versions of them at the Albert Hall or somewhere to acknowledge the fact that it's 20 years.
Yeah.
Since, makes me feel old that though, 20 years since those records come out. Well, not yet, but
no. In a few years.
Yeah, but...
Would you do that, though? Would you do something like... I don't mean like a reunion Oasis thing, but
songs. No, that, I don't think that'll happen. I mean, I guess there'll be the obligatory documentary being made, and, you know what some musicians are like. Someone will say, play the Albert Hall.
Yeah.
The ukulele. I'm like, yeah. Really? The Albert Hall? Me? On my own? Marvellous, I'll do it.
Peter Andre has been told he could lose his voice because of a little problem he's got with his vocal cords. I think it's like a polyp or something.
Nodules? They've always got nodules.
Nodules, exactly. Mm. I always like a story about nodules because it does mean we can keep saying the word nodules. He has to get this fixed. Otherwise, it says here, if it fails to cure the frog in his throat, he will hang up his microphone, devastating his army of fans. Don't say anything, Dave. He goes on. I could tell you wanted to jump in there about the army of fans thing. I've met the fellow. He's a lovely, lovely fellow. But the thing is, he may not be releasing loads of records, right? But he relies on touring and stuff like that. But this is where it gets really weird, right? His voice has given him so many problems that it ruined his night when he was secretly hired as a wedding singer for the Friends star David Schwimmer.
What?
Yeah, this is where it gets weird. So it talks about the nodules and polyps or whatever, and it just chucks this in at the end like it's nothing. The American star, Schwimmer 44, who renewed his wedding vows to wife Zoe last month, hired Peter to perform at the bash, but his throat was so sore, he had to talk through the performance. So he just says, I sang the verses, but I couldn't risk the choruses. What a magical night that must have been.
What a weird combo.
For the Schwimmers. what happened when you renewed your vows? Oh, Peter Andre turned up and just stood up and talked all evening.
XFM.
The journey.
The year is 1869.
Right.
The adventure.
You have travelled deep into the rainforests of darkest Brazil, Lee, on the trail of the 12th of 12 legendary crystal skulls.
The choices.
Choose a letter from the 26 possible options.
L.
7.
L, okay.
The concentration.
Kick or pass?
Kick.
You're saying kick. Excellent. You have possession. Kick or pass?
Kick.
You have possession. Kick or pass?
Pass.
He asks,
are you ready to play?
You answer.
Yeah, what are the rules? Or
the world famous
Magic of Radio.
Quiz Face returns soon.
Let's get quizzical.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
How is life being Noel Gallagher right now?
It's good. It's always good.
Yeah.
Always has been good. It's a man of very little talent. Got far, you know.
Right.
Done all right.
You've done great.
Done all right.
Do you have any self-doubt? You've always sort of known a bit of a swagger.
People that know, I'm not really like that. But I'm not like that as a person. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I'm better than anybody else as a human being, even though clearly I probably am. It's like, you know, when you're in a band like Oasis, it's like we were the best band in the world.
Yeah.
No point in hiding your light under a bushel, is there? Do you know what I mean?
But how about when, you know, because you know, the new album's out today and it is fantastic and, you know, people have responded brilliantly. But there must have been moments when you were writing it and writing it in a different way, I suppose.
Well, because I never announced it to the press, there was never a chance for any speculation to build up. And because I've only just got a computer at Christmas, I'm not into that world. So there was no speculation of what I should be doing or what this is what he has to do. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time all that speculation started, it was already finished. So I'm pretty single-minded when it comes to music because I'm not really that talented, do you know what I mean? I can write what I write and that's it. I'm not like, say like Damon, for instance, Damon Albarn, he seemingly can turn his hand to anything. I can't. I do what I do, so I do it to the best of my ability and that's it. I don't really worry about where it's going or where it's coming from or what I should be doing. This is all I can do. I'm operating at my full capacity all the time. I haven't got anything left in reserve.
Right, you have no reserves.
No, I'm like now... Underneath this facade is two little ducks legs going
just paddling away.
It's crazy.
What do you think people expected of you?
I don't know. And I don't really give a monkey's, to be honest. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, the Kaiser Chiefs fell into that trap, didn't they? When they put out their album and let people decide the track listing and all that. I'm not into that fan participation thing. It's like, I decide what you should do. I decide what... You can't tell me what I should sound like. What's the point in that? It's like, if you want to be involved in the direction of music, learn to play the guitar. And then you can make your own records.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's a different vibe. I mean, there's a lot more, there's a lot of strings on this album. There's more female voices than I've ever heard.
All the string players are female as well. There's a girl backing vocalist.
Is that right?
They're just so much fun, more fun to have in the studio. Do you know what I mean?
Simple as that.
A lot of smelly old fellas. And the people around my age, I'm 45 now, people around my age, they've not aged well.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
You'd much rather have a load of ladies in the studio than a load of 45-year-old fellas.
Yeah.
I know that. They don't look good.
So you're just taking the tour that you'll do.
Unfortunately, that I am surrounded by a load of 45-year-old fellas.
Right, I was going to say. Because that would be great.
It's a good job we're not auditioning for the X Factor, let's put it that way.
You're back with the XFM Breakfast Show. I'm here with Robin Cooper. Here at Global Radio, there is what we call the celebrity cupboard, where you can go into the cupboard. You can see sort of who's in there.
Right, can I go in now?
No, I've been for you. Right. You basically leave a deposit, you take one out, you have to return them.
I say leave a deposit, do you mean like things that dogs do?
No, I don't mean that. No, absolutely not. You don't know deposits like that.
Right.
So today I am pleased and honoured to welcome onto the show, all the way from Hart, just down the corridor, it's Toby Anstis, everyone.
Hey, Daddy.
How are you?
I'm really good, thank you very much. I never thought I'd get on XFM. Very, very honoured.
Here you are. The last time I shared a room properly with Toby Anstis for any length of time, it was 14 years ago at the screening of Stuart Little.
Blimey.
Yeah, exactly. If you check your diary, Toby, you'll remember that. So, Robin, I mean, over to you, really.
Right, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And what was it like, the premiere of Stuart Little?
It was, to be clear, it was only a screening. It wasn't,
right,
it was only
screening.
A screening.
Just screen it, then we went to... We went away to film for it.
No, talk to me.
We went to film on the set of Stuart Little, which is quite bizarre because obviously we couldn't see him.
No.
We could see Hugh Laurie and we could see... who was in it with Hugh Laurie?
I can't remember.
Lee Evans?
Imagine the other man's not in the room. what's he like living in Sri Lanka? Oh no, that's Arthur C. Clarke.
Get it right.
Well, tell us about the programme that you do on the radio, Heart FMs. Do you have phone-ins? For example, someone's got needs to lance a boil, or they have problems with cupboards that can't easily be moved by a man or woman or beast. What sort of things do you do? The viewers would like to know what's on your programme.
The viewers, are they? And the listeners.
Yes, the viewers and the listeners. What sort of things do you try and play along?
We do a great thing called the Time Tunnel. You'd love it, Robin.
Do you think people could go back in time?
Wouldn't it be great if they could? We try to take them back in time with a few tunes. They try to guess the year.
Right. If you could go back in time, what year would you go back to?
Tough question.
That's a good one.
Right.
That's a good one, isn't it?
Yes, and the answer is 1945. Why
did
you go back to 1945, the end of the Second World War?
45. Well, it must have been a nice time to be around, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. And here's your ration card. What would you buy? You're allowed 2 potatoes or 3 powdered eggs.
Spam.
What would you choose? Spam.
I think spam. That was readily available at the time, wasn't it?
Right, well, apparently it was. 3 questions. Have you eaten spam?
Yes, yes to that one.
Did you enjoy eating spam?
Yes, I enjoyed it.
And would you ever consider moving back to Sri Lanka?
Probably not.
No.
You can't get spam there. So
the other question that we've had the callers, the lines have been buzzing the whole time, is questions about personal travel insurance. If you're going away to a foreign country, would you recommend, what type of insurance would you recommend? And these are questions. Danny, yeah. He is our resident insurance expert.
Yeah, he can be, yeah.
As right, of now. I'm sorry, I can't help you with that.
You can't help us with that. It's not a very good resident insurance.
No.
And the other questions I were finding, yes. I understand you've had damp proofing put into your premises.
What
type of damp proofing did you have and why?
I don't know. I don't know what type it is, but hopefully it will just keep out the damp during the winter. I didn't ask too many questions. He just came in and did his business and then left.
Right, he did his business.
If you'll excuse the expression.
Where's that going to take you?
And in the future, what can we be expecting to hear on your programmes?
Lots of really great records.
Right, yeah. What are your 25 favourite records?
Well, I was thinking about that on the way down the stairs. I thought you might ask me that this morning.
Right, number 25. Well, it's been wonderful.
It has. Toby's got to go back to do his show
on
Hearts.
He's got to go back to do the insurance corner on Hearts.
That's right. Right. Yeah, and answer somebody's question about a boil.
What is your preferred method of preventing
of lancing a boil?
Because I'm looking at you now and you're covered head to toe in boils.
Hello, Hannah. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Are you familiar with the world of Quizface?
Semi-familiar.
Great. Well, you should know the rules by now, Hannah. So, if you're ready, let's get quizzical.
Okay. Quiz boom.
That's right. Okay, Hannah. This week's Quizface is Quiz Boom. Should know the rules by now. 2 in the hand is worth 1 in the bush. Look before you leap, but he who takes no chances gets a fat lip. Am I clear?
Crystal.
Great. So, Hannah, first of all, choose your weapon.
Cannon.
Well, no, as usual, it has to be a type of single-fire shotgun. I'd recommend the pump-action Remington 870. We'll go with that if you're happy.
That's fine.
Okay. Remember, Hannah, you shout pull to pull, and you shout fire to fire. Please remember to use your skill and your judgment. You're first to pull. You're first to pull. It's over to you.
Pull.
Okay, it's in the air. It's in the air, Hannah.
Fire.
Well done. Well done, Hannah. That's 1 down. We'll move on to the second one. Pull when you're ready, and then fire at will.
Pull.
It's in the air.
Fire.
Well done, Hannah. Time for round 2, the Spanish round. For this, you'll be using a carbine 22-8. Remember, it's tirar when you're ready, and fuego at will. So, tirar when you're ready.
Tirar.
It's in the air.
Fuego.
Well done, well done. Second one now. Tirar when you're ready, Hannah, and fuego at will.
Tirar. Fuego.
Oh, Hannah, no. Hannah, you missed. The Spanish clay pigeon is in the air. It is hurtling quickly and with great intensity toward a little kitten, Hannah. The little kitten is yawning. It's yawning, so innocent and stretching in the sun.
I'm just a little kitten, so full of life and joy, so happy to be alive, and with a little tum-tum full of yummy milk.
Oh, Hannah, don't, for goodness sakes, let the clay pigeon hit the kitten. Say reload by saying recargare.
Recorder.
Now say take aim by saying tene como objetivo.
Tene como objetivo.
Oh, what a beautiful day. How happy I am. Yippity-yee.
Oh, Hannah, it's going to hit the kitten. This is it. This time, instead of saying fuego, say the little prayer your grandma taught you all those years ago. Complete the sentence, Hannah. We are...
XFM.
She's done it! It's, oh, Hannah, I thought you were going to miss there. Well done. You saved the little innocent kitten and you won the tickets. How do you feel?
Elated.
You should feel elated. I do hope that all your pupils were listening to you and you're getting some kind of trouble with your headmistress for wasting school time. XFM. I promised you that this would happen. It has happened. It's happening right now. He's here. It's Rob Ryden. Hello, Rob. How are you?
You made that sound so exciting.
Well, it is exciting.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. Let's talk about you, though. I was thinking about you.
Let's talk about you. You're looking good. You're dressed like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, I'm double deading today.
Yeah, you are double. That's a look that I would shy away from.
Well, I get up very early in the morning in the dark, trying not to wake my child. So that's why I've gone for double denim.
I know that feeling. People who don't have small children don't understand the fashion mistakes. I'm not saying it's a mistake, but you do literally, you're getting up and you know the night before you go, I'm going to get the clothes ready tonight, yeah. But you never do you?
No.
So you're in there in the morning. I mean, look at me. I look like middle management.
Well, there is a middle management look to you, but you pull it off well. You make it your own. You put your own bold spin on it.
Thank you.
Now, I was thinking about you on the way in and what a great time to be Rob Ryden, because you're approaching, I would say, proper national treasure status.
Oh, that's rubbish.
Do you know what I mean? No, it's not. You've got your Stephen Fry's, and then there's another tier. I would say you're in that tier.
And then there's another tier. And then below that, there's a tier. And then if you really look hard, way down there's another tier. Then there's Timmy Mallett. And then below that...
No, you're knocking on the door of the top tier, I would say, in terms of national treasure.
Well, you are a man of great judgment, so it would be foolish of me to... I suspect that's not the case, but thank you for saying
it. Not at all. Who would your national treasures be?
Alan Bennett.
Alan Bennett, absolutely.
I adore Alan Bennett. I would put Stephen in there. Stephen Fry, Alan Bennett, Paul McCartney. These are the people that make Britain great.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Okay, people that make you proud to be British, and of whom you are proud because they're British.
Elvis Costello.
Yes.
Anthony Hopkins, Tom Jones, Ronnie Corbett.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right.
Barry Humphries is Australian, so...
I suppose when you put it that way, you are in a...
When you put it like that, I'm not it.
I hadn't thought that through.
No, but I
am serious though when I say it's there. And Rob, you have a new book out, Small Man in a Book, a reference, of course, to the Small Man in the Box.
The peculiar little voice I do, which I'm hoping you're not going to ask.
I'm not.
Because I've just finished doing a play and my voice is shot and I don't think I can do it.
It sounds like you're trying to get everyone, like a group of children to go, oh, please do the voice. And then you get a big, we're not going to ask you to do the voice.
Or a campaign like Ferris Bueller. Go, Ferris!
Yeah, exactly.
It seemed like a nice title. It's hard to find a title for a book, you know?
What were some of the front runners?
Do you know what? This came along quite early. They were a bit downbeat, you know, because so much of the book, I don't know if you've managed to leaf through it.
I've been flicking through and leafing through. I will be reading
through
it properly.
Page 12. so much of it, it's basically all about my years of struggling.
Yeah.
To get ahead, you know. It finishes at 2000 when I did Marion and Jeff and Human Remains and started to get a little bit known.
And why did you make that decision?
What happened was, I was on holiday two summers ago and I started just off my own bat to write down some memories of my childhood, just because I felt like doing it. And then when I got back, my agent, Maureen, said, oh, darling, she said, we've had publishers on the line wondering if you'd like to write your memoirs.
How old is this woman?
she said...
Is she in like an Agatha Christie?
Well, you should meet her. And I said, well, funnily enough, I feel like I'm in the mood to do that, you know. So we had, you know, so different publishers come and see you and da-da-da. And I would tell them my story. And as I was telling them the story, it just seemed that all the good stories stopped at 2000. Because it's more interesting, you know. It's not so good when you talk about... Anyway, so I met Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
And, you know, but if you're talking about... the stuff that I did, like working on the Shopping Channel or being an actor at a thrush cream convention. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did so many bad jobs on the real extreme fringes of show business.
Right.
They really were.
An example?
Thrush cream, I mean.
So you did do that?
Yeah, wow. Genuinely, yeah. There was a convention in Glasgow. So I got flown to Glasgow. That was the only plus that, yeah. Hey, I'm being flown. I don't have to pay for the air. They're flying me to Glasgow.
Yeah.
I had to play a pharmacist, a doctor, and a salesman. I was coming at Thrush from all angles. I really was. And you know the thing I remember about it, other than the crushing sense of depression that I felt while I was there, and how I didn't throw myself off the fourth bridge, I don't know, but was I remember the slogan, treat the cause, not the itch.
It's a lovely sentiment.
Well, don't you think, Danny, that applies in so many areas?
Yeah. X-F-M. At some point over the past week, I will have mentioned or talked about the person we're about to talk to. I don't know who. Deirdre Rashid's back. I don't know who it's going to be. I've got 60 seconds to try and work it out in what we call Guess Who.
Guess Who.
Nice, thank you. So, 60 seconds, Dave.
Yes.
Is the caller lined up?
The caller is ready to roll.
I can't wait. Here we go. Let's do Guess Who. Caller, are you there?
I am.
A lady caller. She's a lady caller. Are you in Britain?
Yes.
You are in Britain. Have you been involved in some academic research?
No.
Is it a survey?
No.
Was it a news story?
In a way.
Oh, okay. It was, in a way, a news story. Have we met?
No.
Are you a celebrity?
No.
This is very tricky indeed. This could be anything. Is it something that's happened the last day or two?
It's been happening over the last month, but we've had new news about what we're talking about in the last couple of days.
It's been happening in the last month, but you've got some new news about what's happening in the last few days. Is this to do with raising money?
10 seconds.
Nope.
Oh, I'm stumped. Any ideas?
Nothing.
Oh, I failed. I was doing so well the last couple of days.
Good week.
Good week until now, but caller, please reveal your identity and your connection to the show.
My name is Sarah Howe. I'm from localtraders.com, which is behind the Get Off the Fence competition.
Oh! That's great! Oh, the fence factor! We talked about this. Now, this is a celebration of the nation's fences, and you are holding a competition called Fence Factor. Which celebrates the Great British Fence from Nottingham to Hull and Tamworth, I seem to remember. They were the three that stuck in my mind. How is the Fence Factor going?
Well, we shortlisted the top 10 fences this week, so and we will be announcing the winner of the competition on Monday. God, so it's very exciting.
This is an exciting time, then, for a fence owner.
It is, yeah.
Do the people with the top 10 fences know they've made the top 10 yet?
They do, yeah.
They do, so there's going to be some sleepless nights this weekend.
Well, you can see all of the top 10 shortlisted entries on our website.
And how are you judging these fences? Obviously, there's the finish, there's positioning. I'm interested in how you judge the position of a fence. A sentence I've never said.
We were looking for well-maintained fences, but we're also looking for things that are a little unusual. And you can see from those that have made the shortlist.
Mm.
We've got a fence that's made from rope that's all woven across. We've got a fence that's got patio doors that have been mounted in it so that you can still see the view across the fields.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
There's a lot of unusual fences out there, and they were things that caught the judge's eye when the panel was putting things together. So.
And Santa, you've got some pictures of fences.
I particularly like Norman Hughes in Tamworth, who's got some dolphins painted on his fence.
That's nice.
Not many people celebrate the humble fence, so why don't we get in there and see whether people want to put their fence forward to win the title? And so many people did. We had over 55 entries, so it's been fantastic. So yeah,
that's
really, really good competition. So if we get that sort of response every year, then why not look at doing it again?
That's great. So if people want to see the top 10, they can go to Local Traders, or if they want to see all 55 fences for Facebook. If I do own a fence, and who knows, next year could be my year.
You never know.
XFM
Quiz Boom.
This is confirmed listener Hannah, and I just won Quiz Face using my skill and judgment. In some ways, I'm sad because it overshadows all my other life achievements and has robbed me of any tangible life goals. Thank you, Quiz Face. Thank you, Danny Wallace.
X. FM. Rob, I've been jumping around your book. I only got it a matter of hours ago. I will be delving into it in a far more detailed way. But I had it long enough to be able to find certain sections that spoke to me in some way.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk to a lot of people about their books, it turns out sometimes this isn't you in any way, because this is, you know, written entirely from your point of view, and, you know, it's your story, you know what's going on. But some people, it turns out, don't know their books that well. So I've chosen a couple of little moments.
Okay,
and I'm going to mix them in with moments from other books. And we'll see if you know which is yours.
Okay.
So, here's the first one. And the winner of the National Television Award is... I got up and felt as if I was floating on stage. The National Television Award. I already won a few awards, but this was the big one.
That's
it was Britain's
me.
Own Oscars.
That's not me.
Well, wait, you know, you don't know.
I have never been recognised by the National Television Award.
Well, you or someone else.
I ever will be.
It says, the evening was like a dream. I had endless people coming up to me wanting questions answered, asking to book photo shoots. I was Miss Popularity. Are those the words of Rob Brydon? Or are those the words of someone else?
That's got to be somebody else.
It was Martine McCutcheon from her book, A Star Is Born.
I've never even been to the National Television Awards.
Well, now, why is that?
I don't know. It's just never come up on my radar.
What is it about you that doesn't speak to the popular vote?
I wish I knew.
Okay, good. But critically, you're right up there. It's just the people.
Sorry, if I could just get the people to like what I do.
My mother was the midwife's first delivery after a lengthy period of maternity leave, and the time away from the job had softened the poor woman so sufficiently that when the moment arrived and the levy finally broke, she promptly passed out. Not wishing to appear rude, my father followed suit.
That is true. That is me. That happened when I was born. This was in Swansea, 1965. The midwife had been away on holiday, and this was her first job back. So she was, you know, having a little look around there, and my mum's waters broke, and the midwife went, fell down, bang on the floor. My dad, who doesn't have the strongest constitution when it comes to anything to do with hospital or medicines, went, oh my God, oh. So the two of them, and I'm not making this up, the two of them are out cold.
Just right on the floor.
So the delivering doctor, surgeon, whatever they call those, dentist, you know, he was, he went, he had to deal with these two people before he could deal with my mother.
So he dealt with them first?
Yeah, well, he had to, yeah. He's got two, you know, clear and present dangers there on the floor. He has to deal with them. So then he said to my dad, my dad went to another room then to try and, you know, steady himself. And then a couple of hours later, the doctor came in to tell him the news. He said, it's a boy. And it works. Which is a reference to the fact that I'd weed on him.
Oh, right.
As soon as I was born. Whoosh, straight away.
This poor guy.
Yeah, I know, he wasn't having a good day, was he? And then as he left my dad, he turned round and he said, with reference to my mother, he said, keep them pregnant and barefoot, they won't go very far.
Oh, wow. Oh, so much there, but ahead of his time in terms of health and safety. Just a bit of catching up to do in terms of sexual rights. I have met so many people, even Prince Charles, but perhaps the most...
I have met Prince Charles. This could be me. It might be me.
But perhaps the most touching are the little girls who shyly ask for my autograph and tell me I am their inspiration. Me, an inspiration to little girls. Is that you, Rob Brydon?
No,
is that in your book?
I bet that's Katie Price.
It's not. Not far off. Chantel Houghton, Living the Dream. That should have been your title,
Chantel,
for goodness sake.
Houghton written a book?
Yeah, Living the Dream. Well, someone's written a book. And Chantel's name's on it.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
XFM. There's a big story here, but it's been tucked away. No one's really reporting on this. I don't know why. The world is to end tomorrow. You remember Harold Camping, the guy who predicted that on May the 21st of this year, the world would end.
The rapture will happen.
Exactly. And all the people would get sucked up into the clouds, and they'd all go off to heaven, and the rest of us would you know, be judged and probably... I don't know, punished in some way. Well, that didn't happen, did it?
Didn't happen, no.
It
really didn't happen. He changed his mind about the dates. He got the dates wrong.
That's what he'd done the maths wrong. So he maintains that, you know, God accomplished exactly what he wanted to happen, which was nothing, and that a spiritual judgment had occurred to make way for the actual
physical destruction, which, of course, is tomorrow. The thing is, though, he can't be wrong every time. Eventually, he's going to be right. The more he is wrong, the way I see it, the greater his chances of being right next time. So next time is tomorrow. So he's saying the world's going to end tomorrow. So it got me thinking. I give you full permission, on behalf of XFM and Global Radio, to skive off work. I don't do that. Well, are the animals going to rapture?
I'm not sure. Did he say it? I don't think he was specific.
Yeah, because, you know, usually
they've
when you
sinned.
See... Have they?
I presume. Well, animals sin quite a lot, don't they?
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they know they've sinned?
like fouling footpaths and
stuff. Can we get a priest on the line and work out whether animals technically sin? Because if they sin, I mean, then they're all going down below because they can't ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. All animal problems solved just there.
Okay, good.
Who was it? Very clever. He said the sloth is probably sinning the most.
Yeah.
That being
true,
a sin. He's even named after a sin, isn't he? Or, of course, the cheetah.
Yes.
Let's do the good news in the studio. Well, Max, you've had a few days away from the world of good news. What was that you just did? That was a really weird thing.
I had a bit of pastry on my thumb and I just flicked it away.
That's weird. It looked like you were doing the slowest thumbs up ever. And he just looked at me. It was very odd.
I'm back.
You've had a few days.
Yeah, I was going to tell you about that in my good news, but I've just had some breaking good news.
You're kidding me.
From reception.
What?
Some lightsabers have been delivered, and they've got our names on, Danny. Well, your name on, but you can't play on your own.
Right. So we're going to play lightsabers,
are we? Good news, isn't it?
Excellent. We're 34.
Oh, yeah.
What was your good news, other than that?
That was my good news. Oh, other than that, apart from I went to an antenatal class the other day, and the good news from my hospital is that we are sharing the same hospital to give birth in as TV news raider Kate Silverton.
Oh, that's a good one. good news.
Spot.
Phil, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. My talented Serbian barber returns from holiday this week so I can get my hair cut and stop having to rock this strange 1950s side parting comb over.
Dave, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. After a rather throwaway comment from Danny Wallace yesterday regarding Matt Dyson being like an Aga oven upon his first day back in a News Hound hot seat.
I'll just explain. The temperature in the studio yesterday was like subarctic. Today it's tropical.
Oh, I was getting to that.
I said that it was because you weren't here, Matt, and you bring a natural warmth to the studio, as an Aga heats a cottage.
Upon his first day back in the News Hound hot seat, as Danny's just said, the studio temperature has suspiciously risen from minus 17 degrees to plus 34. The good news being that not only is Matt Dyson apparently a store heat stove, but my northern nipples are back to normal.
Excellent. We also discovered yesterday that Dave has two sets of nipples, the southern and the northern. The lightsabers are here, Matt. They've just arrived. It's been brought in. They look terrific. We'll get to them in a minute. My good news. Good news, guys. For 3 months or so, every morning in this studio, Matt Dyson and myself have stood by the window, cups of coffee in hand, and stared soulfully out at London, the city that has become ours, our guardian, sometimes our enemy, but always, always our friend. We stand side by side, just two men bathed in the early morning light, and we look out at a big pile of rubble that some builders have been moving about. But today, that rubble was gone, and we found other things to talk about. The joys of life, the joys of early mornings, the joys of a newborn child, our hopes and our dreams. Sometimes rubble can be a metaphor for friendship. So what's your good news?
XFM.
It's great. We're the only radio station that I believe that are doing this in this depth.
I should hope so.
Me too. It's ours. Let's cross live now to Sarah, who we talked to on Friday, one of the organisers of Fence Factor. Sarah, are you there?
I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Sarah. Was it a public vote? How did we do this?
It was a panel within the company at Local Traders.
I've got you. So there was a fence panel, and you got together and you argued this out. How long was were the deliberations?
It probably took us about 20 minutes just to all come to the same decision that we've got a worthy winner.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking at the finalists here. We've all got our favourites. I mean, Ray Hill in Exeter. That's a very neat fence. It doesn't leave you guessing, this fence. You know exactly where you are with it. Wayne Fivey and Enniskillen. He's gone for kind of a nature theme. That's good. Of course, Norman Hughes in Tamworth. That was the dolphin one. My favourite, and don't give it away yet, Sarah, but my favourite was obviously Gary Harrison from Bury St Edmunds, who who created a window effect within his fence.
Yes, it was a very unusual fence, and like you say, it does stand out.
Can you reveal then the winner of this year's Fence Factor? And do feel free to pause.
I can reveal that the winning 2011 Fence Factor fence belongs to Gary Harrison.
Yes!
I knew it!
I knew it! I knew it!
XFM. Good morning, it's the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace. And Matt Dyson, I've just realised you're quite far from the microphone. It's not going to work. I'll tell you why Matt is no longer near the microphone. Because we've pushed Matt out of the way. Matt is no longer a relevant voice on this show. Not when we have the likes of Russell Howard, everybody. Oh, here he is.
Well, that's the worst intro ever, isn't it?
Well, yeah, well, you come in and you've upset the dynamic.
Well, it feels like I've sort of wandered in, shot your dog. And then, I'm a new dog.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, I don't mind that.
No, I'm sorry for calling you a dog, Matt. Yeah. I didn't mean, you know what I mean?
There's positives to it. I think there's a puppyish quality to you both.
Right, okay.
That I enjoy. There is the enthusiasm of the young pup.
Yeah.
And there's the...
the wiseness.
The wizened old... the wizened old dog in the corner.
Yeah,
exactly. Russell, how are
the
you?
The Labrador has seen it all.
Your DVD comes out.
Yeah.
Right here, right now. So you went all over the country.
Yep.
What topics did you cover?
I can't remember.
Alphabetically. Alphabetically, please.
I don't know what it's sort of just loads of jokes and loads of stories. And I sort of set out with the idea of trying to write a show about the world and ended up pretty much writing a show about my brother. That's kind of what it's about.
So is it all the world in your brother?
Yeah.
Or is it just about your brother?
It's mainly about my brother.
Right.
But he delivered...
You're getting away with a bit too much these days.
He delivered big this year.
Did he?
Oh, there's some great... I mean, you know, he's an endless source of... Like the other day, he sort of liaised with a lady. Mm. And in the morning, he told me his great story. She woke up. And was horrified that they'd you know, they'd made sweet, and she sort of looked at him and was like,
a pained expression,
and then he
kind of
waved at her and she did we and Danny went yeah, and she was like and Danny looked at her and just went, should have gone to Specsavers. Excellent way of ending
that. That is fantastic. Yeah. I would like to meet Daniel Howard.
Yes, well, if you came to one of my gigs, you would find him because...
I'm not going
to
do that. I'd like to meet him in his own time.
Well, I can arrange that.
Okay. We are XFM. Time for the good news, Matt.
Yes.
The good news. So much of it pouring in today. A mix of the hugely important and the massively trivial, as usual, which is what we love. Matt, what is the metaphor that you're going to employ? You've had like 4 days.
Oh, no. I completely forgot about this, this section of the show.
This music should be just send you into a blind panic.
Yeah, it should do.
This is just one of
the... I'm compiling all the good news.
This is one of nine ways that I get Matt out of his comfort zone every morning on the show. Just make one up.
We are two washing machine delivery men.
Okay,
right,
good. Right.
Jacob, they're always called Jacob with me.
Are they?
And Simon.
Right, okay. Sometimes. Who am I? Am I Jacob or Simon?
You're Simon, I'm Jacob.
Okay.
We're running late for our first delivery of the morning.
Yeah.
You better hurry up. You're driving. Get us through the traffic, Simon. Well,
where are we trying to go, Jacob?
We're going to...
the first I've heard of it.
We're going to Devizes.
Okay, we're going to the Wiltshire town of Devizes.
That's right.
Fine, all right, good. Well, we're going to stop off and deliver these washing machines, which are little nuggets of good news.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you're going for. Okay, great. Well, you begin.
Okay. Simple good news from Dave in Bristol. I ate some crumpets this morning and they were delicious.
That's good news. Well done. Let's cross live now to confirm listener Charlotte with her good news. What's your good news, Charlotte?
Morning. My good news is that I discovered that my cat likes Marmite on toast. So
That noise in the background, that wasn't a cat wailing in agony, was it?
No, it's a bird.
Okay, fine. So your cat, you found that your cat likes Marmite on toast, and why is this good news?
Because up until now, I've been ridiculed in my house for being the only one who eats it. So now I have an ally in him.
Good news. Well done, Charlotte. What else is happening, Matt?
Good news, guys, from Little Jason. Possibly the greatest comedy film of all time, Midnight Run, is on TV tonight.
Happy Days.
That is, it is one of the greatest comedy films of all time. I love it. I'm going to watch that as well. De Niro at his finest. Go on. Well, not his finest. At his funniest.
Julian Mansfield on a similar tip. Good news, guys. My boss is letting me have Friday morning off work so I can get some, try and get some Stone Roses.
That is, that's good news. What about confirmed Mr. Karen? What is your good news?
Good news, guys. I met a hottie last night and he definitely wants to see me again. Oh,
hey. She met a hottie last night and he wants to see her again. And Fiona in Leeds, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. Yesterday I was giving an assembly on Danny Wallace and your grand amounts of kindness. Only I knew who you were. Good news!
Only she knew who I was in a room full of hundreds and hundreds of people. That's good news, finally. he texted in. This is great. This was unexpected. Yes. Confirmed listener Robin Cooper. What's your good news?
The good news, good guys. I just found a tomato I lost, which was behind the mirror in my bathroom all along. I suppose you looked there first. Well, best of all to your viewers. Bye-bye.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Tony Bowen's here, everybody. How are you, Tony?
I'm well. I'm very well.
I'm pleased. Tony brought hot chocolates in. He heard how freezing we are. We're not just cold. There's actually a breeze in here, as Tony pointed out. I'm in a duffel coat. You can confirm that.
Absolutely.
What's Dave wearing?
He's also in his full coat.
Yeah, we're in full coats. We look like, I don't know what we look like, but we don't look like we're broadcasting.
No.
Here we go, then. Please welcome to the airwaves, Tony Bowen.
First, a note to the Star Wars PR people. One lightsaber is not enough to entertain a room full of juvenile men.
No.
Thanks for sending it in, but how can we reenact anything from the popular sci-fi franchise with just one lightsaber?
Yeah, they had to watch me spinning around on my own, showing off with a lightsaber. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not a spectator sport.
No.
It is participation only. Before the show today, all three men in the studio smelled markedly different. I was a heady combination of golden pineapple gel and the musky hedonism of Lynx Africa. Matt, a mix of Imperial Leather Foam Gel, Hawaiian Tropical Blend, currently 3 for 2 at Boots, and Colgate. And Baby Dave smelled of Johnson's Baby Oil and talc. Now, though, the three of us smell overpoweringly of tears on my pilau. Together we form a stink so massive we smell like an Elizabethan boudoir on shore leave night. Just realised there are four children in the studio.
We are
XFM. Well, there you go. That was podcast number 13 from the XFM Breakfast Show. There'll be another one next week. Don't tell anyone it's codenamed number 14. Bye-bye. Yes, we are XFM. Benny Wallace.